Come on, stand to your feet today for the reading of God's word. I love this house and I love your pastors and I love your country, and it's just a joy to be here. I was on my way from Kenya to Seoul, and I thought the quickest way was through Singapore, of course. And so, but honored to be here. I want to read in Psalm 119, verses 156. It says, "Great are your tender mercies and your steadfast love, O Lord. Revive me and give me life according to your ordinances." Say that with me. Revive me, O Lord. Say it again, this time in your out loud voices. Say, revive me, O Lord. Again, revive me, O Lord. Touch your neighbor and say, may the Lord revive you. Touch your other neighbor, the good looking one, and say, may the Lord revive you. Awesome. Give two people high five as you grab your seats and tell them, Jesus looks good on you. He looks good on you. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. I bring you greetings from my wife, Mercy, our three kids, and we're honored to be here again, once again at Cornerstone. I want to talk to you a message burning in my heart called Revival Fire. And it's more than a message, it's a burden for this house. This house has been chosen by God to be one of the hubs of global revival. It's an incredible privilege, also an awesome responsibility that God has given you as a church. And the response to that is one of hunger. You see in the Bible that God always was attracted to hunger. So many of Jesus' miracles revolved around feeding hungry people. Jesus is attracted to hunger. And if you want God's blessing in your life, you want God's blessing in your family, be hungry for God. Get hungry, get desperate for the living God. You're not always going to be the smartest person in the room. I was just in Kenya with one of our large donors. He was a computer engineer, and he built and sold $2 billion companies. He sold his last company in December for $6.5 billion, US dollars. He's a computer engineer, and we were on safari. I said, what'd you do this morning, Lou? He said, about 3 o'clock, I woke up and I wrote some code for my third company. And I was like, I read the Psalms. okay, you wrote code. I read the Psalms, great. So I knew I was not the smartest man in the room that day, but I could be the hungriest. And you can be the hungriest person for God in your school, in your university, in your place of work. You can be the most on fire person because you alone control your spiritual thermostat. You determine how hot you're going to be for God. And the Bible says, look, if you're lukewarm, I'm going to spit you out of my mouth. Be hot or be cold, but don't be lukewarm. How many want to raise the heat level this morning? I didn't want to turn up the thermostat. And God, I want to be fully on fire for you, fully devoted for you. How many want that today? Give God a shout of praise. Amen, amen. So here's the key idea today. Here's the idea. Every time God wants to move on earth, he starts a prayer meeting. And prayer births revival. Prayer ignites revival. Let me say that again. Every time God wants to move on the earth, he starts a prayer meeting. Say that with me, every time. Out loud voices, every time God wants to move on the earth, he starts a prayer meeting, and prayer births revival. Every revival in history was birthed in prayer, often with a young man or a young woman. You know the story of the Welsh revival. You are deeply connected as a church to Wales. Was a young man named Evan Roberts, a coal miner, 26 years old. He started getting up at 3 a.m. And I wondered today if there'd be a young man or a young woman or a middle-aged man or middle-aged woman like me that would say, you know what, God, I want to get up at 3 a.m. and I want to seek your presence. I want to be a habitation for the presence of God on earth because God is attracted to hunger. And I wonder if someone like maybe discontinue Netflix or Prime or Instagram for a month just to seek the Lord and get hungry for God and get desperate for God today. Prayer is the language of heaven that God hardwired into the DNA of every human being. Think about that. Every human being prays every day, every religion. Nearly 90% of people every day pray. They're looking for God. They're searching for God. Prayer is the language of heaven. Prayer is the thing that wants to happen. And he's looking for somebody that will be hungry and desperate and walk with him and seek him and talk with him and walk in intimate communion with God. How many want to be that man and be that woman today? The Bible says Enoch walked with God for 300 years and then he was not because God took him. Let me show you what prayer is. Here's the idea in the Hebrew, that every morning Enoch woke up and said, good morning, Yahweh. And Yahweh said, good morning, Enoch. How you doing? How'd you sleep last night, Lord? Oh, I slept pretty good on the clouds in heaven. How'd you sleep, Enoch? Oh, not that well. My wife kept elbowing me in the chest and my ribs are kind of hurting, but we're doing okay. And they'd have breakfast together, go check on the fields, go check on the sheep, go check on the harvest, walk around, see the grandkids, have dinner together. And then at night, Yahweh would say, good night, Enoch. I'll see you tomorrow. And Enoch would say, good night, Lord. I'll see you tomorrow. And Enoch would walk to his tent and Yahweh would walk back to his place called heaven. And they walked together every day, 300 years. Until one day God said, good night, Enoch. I'll see you tomorrow. Enoch said, good night, Lord. And Enoch started to walk back toward his tent and God was walking back to heaven and he thought, you know, Enoch has become my best friend. I'm gonna miss him. So Enoch, God turned around and said, Enoch, actually, how'd you like to come back to my crib tonight? Enoch thought, well, I'm gonna miss my wife and most of my grandkids and my kids, but you know what, I wanna be with you. And Enoch and God walked arm in arm into heaven together. That's prayer. Walking with God. God has called you into an intimate life of friendship and fellowship with him. Anytime God wants to move on earth, he starts a prayer meeting and prayer ignites revival. Are you with me today? But the greatest revival in history was the person of Jesus. The greatest revival in history is the person and ministry of Jesus. And how did his ministry begin? How did this revival called Jesus begin? It began with prayer. Luke chapter 4, verse 1 says, in the Spirit, Jesus was full of the Spirit, and the Spirit called him into the wilderness for 40 days and 40 nights, and he fasted for 40 days and 40 nights, no food, for 40 days and 40 nights. And the Bible says, and the devil came and tempted him. Anytime you fast, you're gonna be tempted, right? Be ready for it. You're gonna get tempted, you're gonna get cranky because you haven't eaten, but be ready, you're gonna be tempted. But the Bible says that after 40 days, what happened? Luke 4, verse 14, watch this. And it says, and Jesus went back from the wilderness, returned in the power of the Spirit. He went into the wilderness full of the Spirit. 40 days of prayer and fasting, and he came out full of the power of the Spirit. How many want the power of the Spirit on your life? How many want the power of the Spirit on your marriage and on your family and on your business? How many like to sell your business for $6.5 billion? Amen. That'd be a good day. I once sold a business for $6. That was a good day. My buddy sold his for $6 billion. How many want more of the power of the Spirit on your life? Pray. Say this with me. Little prayer, little power. Much prayer, much power. How many want much power? And after he prayed, he returned in the power of the Spirit. He starts healing the sick, raising the dead, walking on water, doing miracles. You see, prayer releases this power of the Spirit in your life. The second greatest revival in history is the church in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, Jesus gives the Great Commission, the fourth time he gave it, and then he goes to heaven. And what do the disciples do with this challenge to make disciples of all nations? They don't run to the boardroom, they run to the prayer room, to the upper room. And the Bible says in Acts 1:14, all these with one heart and one mind were continually devoting themselves to prayer. If you want revival in your family, in your nation, you got to devote yourselves to prayer. We get to Acts 2:1. They're in one place. They're praying in one accord and the Spirit comes down. They're filled with the Spirit. And what do? They go out to the streets and 3,000 people get water baptized in one day. Every time God wants to move on the earth, He calls the church to prayer, and prayer births revival. So today I want to share with you real quick four keys to prayer, four revival prayers that you can pray. And the first prayer is this: Lord, revive me. We read it together in Psalm 119, verse 156. Revive me and give me life according to your ordinances. Say it with me. Say, Lord, revive me. Again, like you believe it, say, Lord, revive me. Before Revive Singapore, before Revive Cornerstone, Lord, revive me. Revival always starts personal. Before the Welsh revival, one young man named Evan Roberts got a hunger to pray. 26 years old, he was not a pastor. And maybe today there's an Evan Roberts here. Maybe there's a young man or a young woman that would get desperate for the living God. Lord, revive me. Set me on fire. I don't want to just do life as business, life as usual. I don't want to just go to work and back home and go to church on Sunday and clap my hands, sing four songs and go back to what I was doing. Lord, interrupt my life. Make my life a holy sacrifice on your altar. Lord, revive me. Revival is falling in love with Jesus all over again. Do you remember when you fell in love with him? Revival is coming back to your first love. In Revelation chapter 2, Jesus sends a message to the church at Ephesus. And he says, you have good doctrine. Congratulations. You have good discernment. You don't tolerate false prophets. I congratulate you. You have good works. You care for the sick and the poor. Good doctrine, good discernment, good works. You work hard. You work tirelessly. And I commend you for all these things. But there's one thing that I have against you, but it's kind of a big thing. You've neglected your first love. Do the things you did at first and come back to your first love, or I'll take away your candlestick. I'll take away the anointing. How many of you are married? Raise your hands. How many of you want to be married? Okay, all right. Do you remember when you first fell in love and you wore cologne and you dressed sharp and you showed up early to pick her up? And to open the door, you opened her door and you took her out and you brushed your teeth. And if you had mustard on your shirt, you changed your shirt. But now you're married and you got mustard on your shirt, you're wearing sweats, you don't put on cologne. What's wrong with you, man? My wife doesn't tell me I'm hot anymore, because you ain't. Hello? And what happens? We lose our first love. We're married. We're committed. God doesn't want commitment. He wants first love. He said, put me first. The Bible says in Exodus 20, the Lord your God is a jealous God. He's jealous for your first devotion. So to do the things you used to do when we fell in love. Come back to this place of being all out, all in love, on fire, head over heels in love with Jesus. Can I get an amen? How many want to come back to first love today? Yeah. Because I've lost my first love for Jesus. Still committed, still married, but not in love. Not madly in love. And Jesus wants you to be head over heels in love with him. So say it with me, Lord, revive me. Number two, say it with me, Lord, baptize me with fire. This time in our out loud voices. Say it with me, Lord, baptize me with fire. John the Baptist said in Matthew 3:11, he said, the one who comes before me is greater than me. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. I baptize you with water, but watch this. He's gonna come. He's gonna baptize the Holy Spirit and with fire. Say, and with fire. Now, you gotta work with me today. And with fire. How many wanna be baptized with fire today? See, you might already have been baptized in the Spirit. You pray in tongues. You're baptized in the Spirit. That's great. But there's more than that. You got to level up, right? And the video said level up. I like that. Let's level up. Level up. Be full of the fire. What's the fire? What's the fire? Fire is not an emotion. It's a conviction. And I love this in Malachi. In Malachi chapter 3, verses 2 and 3, it says, but who can endure the day of his coming? Who can stand when he appears? For he'll be like a refiner's fire or a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the Levites and refine them with gold, and like gold and silver. Then the Lord will have men and women who will bring offerings in righteousness. Refiner's fire takes metals like gold or silver, and it melts them down to make them pure. And when it gets to a certain heat and they liquefy, the dross will rise to the top, and the refiner will come along and skim it off. And then he'll heat it up again and skim it off again. And a lot of times, the last metal to come out of gold is silver. Silver is valuable. But for gold to be pure, it has to be purified out. God wants pure gold. A lot of things, he'll take out bad things, also good things out of your life to give you the best. Don't settle for good when you can have best. Don't settle for good. Good is always the enemy of great. Settle for only for God's best. God wants to turn up the heat today and remove every dross, everything that would displease him. I love the prayer of David in Psalm 139. He said, search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me in the path of everlasting life. What's David saying? God, if there's anything in me, an attitude, an action, a thought, a habit, a relationship that's not pleasing to you, remove it from my life. I open my heart to you. Why don't you bow your hearts and your eyes right now? Just let's take one moment here in the presence of God. Invite the Spirit of God like David did. Search my heart, O God. Examine me. See if there be anything in me that's displeasing to you. Just ask the Lord, Lord, is there anything in my life right now? A habit, a thought, an action, a relationship that in any way, in the slightest way, is displeasing to you. Lord, I give it to you. I surrender it to you. I put it on the altar. Remove it from my life. Lord, I want to be holy. I want to be set apart. I want to walk in the fear of the Lord. So Lord, reveal anything in me and remove it from my life in Jesus' name. So number one, Lord, revive me. Number two, Lord, baptize me with fire. The third prayer is this, Lord, give me boldness. Say it with me, Lord, give me boldness. That wasn't very bold. Say it boldly. Say, Lord, give me boldness. All right, all right, all right. I like that. Lord, give me boldness. So now we move from praying for us to saying, Lord, now let me be a vessel and a messenger of the gospel. Give me boldness to share your love with others. Because there's no revival if lost people don't get saved. There's no revival if lost people don't get saved. And God wants to save you and your whole family. The Bible says in Acts 16:31, believe in the Lord Jesus and you and your whole family shall be saved. That means your mom and your dad, your brothers and your sisters, your children, your grandchildren, your cousin, your aunt, your uncle, all of them, your whole family shall be saved. Do you believe that today? I said, do you believe that today? The Lord is not a man that he can lie. The Bible says if you believe in Jesus, you can count on it that your whole family shall be saved. And so we're praying for boldness to share Jesus with others. I love this in Acts chapter 4. The apostles are arrested for healing the lame men, and they get released, and they don't pray for protection. They don't pray for vindication. Here's what they pray for. Acts 4:29. Now consider their threats and enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Say it with me, with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal, perform signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And after Cornerstone Church prayed, the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit, and they spoke the word of God boldly. Say it with me. And they spoke the word of God boldly. Touch your neighbor and say boldly. They spoke the word of God boldly. John Wesley said it this way: you have nothing to do but to save souls. Therefore, spend and be spent in this work, and go not only to those that need you, but those that need you the most. Of all the purposes of God for the believer, for the church, there's only one that has a time stamp on it. There's only one that has an expiration date, and that's evangelism. Because we're going to pray for all of eternity. We're going to worship for all of eternity. We're going to study the Bible for all of eternity. We're going to fellowship with the body of Christ for eternity. We're going to serve God in his kingdom for eternity. But there's one thing you can't do when you get to heaven, and that's share your faith. It'll be too late. When that door in the ark closes, it's closed forever. And I want to challenge you, if you would share your faith this week. You say, I don't know how to do that. Yes, you do. Share your testimony. The Bible says the woman at the well, 5 failed marriages, shacked up with a guy living in sin. She meets Jesus. Her life is radically changed. She goes back to her town and tells everybody what Jesus had done in her life. She didn't know about the Holy Spirit. She didn't know there was even a Father. She just knew that Jesus had changed her life. And the Bible says in John 4:39, and many of the Samaritans believed on Jesus because of her testimony. So I want to challenge you this week, share your story with at least one person. Tell somebody what Jesus has done in your life. Can you do that? Can you do that this week? Come on, wave at me. When my daughter Lauren was 11, she prayed for 7 friends far from God. She invited them to our house to do a Bible study, 11 years old. On the 8th week, she said, Dad, will you train me how to share my testimony? And I helped her real quick just write down her testimony. You know, when I was 5, I stole a cookie at Walmart, and, you know, it was this really bad, corrupt life she had. And she just wrote down her testimony, and she shared it with her 7 friends. 5 of her friends accepted Christ in my living room. Out the word of your testimony. God's word is in your lips, but you got to share it. What has God done in your life? Just share your story this week with at least one person. How many want to do that? Give me boldness, God, to share your word. So say it with me. Lord, revive me. Lord, baptize me with fire. Lord, give me boldness. And number 4, here's the prayer. Oh, Lord, do it again. Say it with me. Oh, Lord, do it again. Come on louder. Oh, Lord, do it again. And do it through me. The prophet Habakkuk says in 3 and verse 2, Habakkuk 3 and verse 2, Lord, I've heard the news about you. I'm amazed at what you've done. Lord, do great things once again in our time. Make those things happen again in our days. Even when you're angry, remember to be kind. What's the prophet saying? Do it again, oh Lord, do it again. Do it again, oh Lord. And do it through me. Can I get the worship team to come begin ministry? In 1949, there was a seminary professor named Dr. J. Edwin Orr. He was a professor, student of revival, author of revival. And he took a group of seminary students with him to England to visit the childhood home of John and Charles Wesley. And they went to the bedroom where John Wesley would pray, and there were rivets in the floor. Well, he would pray on his knees for God to move in England, for God to bring revival to England. And they went through the house, and then they left. They got back on the bus, and Dr. Orr went through the bus just counting the students, counting the heads, and like, wait a minute, we're missing one. So he went back into the house, and he went to John Wesley's bedroom. And there he saw a young man, one of the students, on his knees. And he was crying out, oh Lord, do it again and do it through me. Oh Lord, do it again and do it through me. Oh Lord, do it again and do it through me. And Dr. Orr hated to interrupt him, but the bus was gonna leave, and he tapped him on the shoulder and he said, I'm so sorry, but we have to go. 9 years later, the Lord answered the prayer of that young man. The name of that young man was Billy Graham. And 9 years later in Los Angeles, He set up a little tent to preach the gospel for 1 week. It went months. It was the revival of 1949 in Los Angeles because a young man prayed, Lord, do it again. What you did through John Wesley, why couldn't you do it through me? God is no respecter of persons. He uses hungry people. He uses desperate people. He uses people who pray. Evan Roberts wasn't the most qualified man to lead revival in Wells. He wasn't even a preacher. He was a coal miner. Billy Graham wasn't the most qualified, but he was the hungriest. God is inviting us today to get desperate for him. Desperate for our children, our grandchildren, our families. Desperate to see a move of God. And it starts by saying, Lord, revive me. I don't want to be lukewarm, shake off anything in me that's gotten comfortable in Christianity. Like Rocky said, get back the eye of the tiger, right? Just get back that hunger, that fire. Lord, revive me. Lord, baptize me with your fire. Reveal anything in me that's displeasing to you. God would say to us today, just open your heart. He's not mad at you. He loves you. Sin won't separate you from the love of God, but it will separate you from the presence of God. And he wants to be so close to you. But he's a holy God, and sin cannot stand in his presence. But here's the good thing. You just got to confess it and give it to him. He does the changing. You can't change yourself. Here's the good news. You don't have to. You give it to him. He does the changing. He does the cleaning. He's the refiner's fire. We just got to open our heart, and God will do the rest. Baptize me with fire. Give me boldness to share my faith with my family, with my brothers, with my sisters, with my friends. And then, oh Lord, do it again. Do it through me. Why couldn't God move in Singapore? Why couldn't God move through Cornerstone? Why couldn't God use you? You could be the catalyst in your place of work, in your university, in your home, in your church, in your nation. You could be the catalyst. So here's what I'm gonna ask you to do. Stand to your feet. Stand to your feet, Cornerstone Church. If you're watching at home, you don't have to stand unless you want to. I want us to pray, oh Lord, do it again. Do it again. Do it through me. Lord, use me as an instrument of revival. Revive me first, Lord. And I'm just going to invite you, if you're hungry for God today, come join me at the altar. If you're hungry, if you're desperate, if you want revival in your life, just join me at the altar right now. I'm going to ask the worship team to lead us in a chorus. And if you say, Brian, I want to join you at the altar, I'm desperate. I want to see a move of God in my generation. I want to see a move of God in my life, in my family, in my nation. Join me at the altar. God always responds to hunger. It's time to get hungry. It's time to get desperate. The Bible says in Hosea 10:12, it is time to seek the Lord until he come and rain righteousness upon Singapore. So here we go, church. We're going to worship. Join me and say, Lord, do it again. Revive me, O Lord. Do it again and do it through me.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.